Bear Podcast, the podcast for bears and cubs, episode 87.
Wolf, what are
they? Bear Podcast.
We're going to wear black spandex.
Okay, here are bear events.
Bears and cubs.
Either way, you're going to be gay.
With so many topics that we cover today.
Well, not only that, you mentioned about, you know, iTunes.
You like balls, is what you're saying.
Greetings, listeners of the Bear Podcast. This is ex-Cali Bear calling.
But all fun, you know, all fun, no pressure.
To go critical, man.
Another bears, cocktails, food, and free for anyone outside the greater Houston area.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bear Podcast. Yes, this is the Nard.
And this is ex-Cali Bear.
Yes, and I'm here podcasting in the suburbs of Houston.
And I'm here podcasting in the suburbs of Dallas.
Wow, gosh.
Da, 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 da,
how's
da,
the
da,
weather
da,
there
da,
right
da.
Now?
It's finally cooled down.
Yeah, it is cooling down here too, and it's awesome. I mean, it's getting a little cooler, and, you know, it's been raining though, but cool is good.
Mm-hmm. Well, if the weather was like this all the time, it would be easier for me to live here, I think. But yeah, I'm enjoying the nice weather. It's very much welcomed, and apparently there's another cold front coming in from Canada that's going to bring us more cold weather. So I'm saying bring it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm more than accepting to this.
Well, yeah, it's the fall, so I like the weather like this. I don't like too cold. I like it to be just right like this.
Well, mm-hmm. if it gets to a certain level of coldness, then it gets to snuggling weather.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, get under the flannel blankets and snuggle with your loved ones.
Oh, God. Which reminds me. Yeah, Mike's going to come over this coming weekend, so that's good.
Woohoo! All right. I'm sure you'll be doing more than snuggling.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, let's talk about some of weekend updates. Hold on. Let me play the jingle for this. Hold on.
Weekend update.
All right. Okay. Weekend update. So,
Ooh. What's
going on with you? What happened to you last weekend?
Do you want the good news or the bad news?
Let's go for the I usually go for the bad news first, then the good news.
Well, unfortunately, all the bad news has to deal with my job at the Disney store.
Oh, okay. The usual.
Yeah,
okay.
The usual, pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. Except it's gotten worse. We've had two situations going on. One, apparently my district manager has approached my managers about the possibility of me becoming an assistant manager for the store, what's known as a lead position, and because there's an opening. So he asked my management, who do they suggest from the store would be qualified for the position? And they instantly said, me. You know, so.
Yeah, of course, you have your years of experience in the Disney store. Yeah.
So I'm like sitting here going, finally, you know. You know. So we've been spending all week prepping for the interview all last week because the interview is supposed to happen this week. Well, come yesterday, which was the 9th, our district manager arrives at the store and stays there all day. And I was only supposed to be scheduled for a half a day, but I was asked to stay for a full day because of the fact that it looks like I'm getting interviewed. And so we waited and waited and waited, and nothing ever happened, and our district manager left. And the only thing that he ever said to me that entire day was he walked up to me and asked if I was enjoying the more cooler weather now in Dallas. And I'm going, that's the most important thing on your mind to discuss with me at this time?
You should have asked him, how about, can we talk about the job position?
Yeah, how about my future in this company? You know, mm-hmm. Screw the weather. What about my future here? Yeah. Mm-hmm. To top it all off, I had a dealing with a customer on that day. It was this really snarky bitch that came into the store who was looking for coupons. And the Disney store, believe it or not, does have coupons, but we mail them out to people. It's not like, yeah, here's coupons.
Then use it in the store, yeah.
But in order for you to use the coupon, one, you had to be sent the coupon, and two, you have to bring the coupon in with you, you know. So I'm telling this woman, no, we don't have coupons here. They get mailed to you, and you have to bring the coupon in. Well, she just got all uppity and bitchy with me, like I just took a shit on her shoes or something.
Ew.
And she rung up her stuff and everything, and it was like this over $200 worth of purchase, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, I understand now why she wants the coupon. And so I give her the total, and out of nowhere, she throws out one of those metallic black American Express cards, one of those elite cards that you can't even apply for. They just get sent to you, mm-hmm. which pretty much means that if you have an American Express black card, you have more money than God, mm-hmm. pretty much. I mean, not everybody gets one of these cards. And this is the first time I've ever seen an American Express black card. And first of all, I'm sitting there and I'm going, holy shit, you know, this is a black American Express card. I've never seen this. Maybe
she's, what do you call this, an actress or a very... celebrity that
she's a frugal cunt is what she is, because I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, the second thing that I'm thinking is, how dare you ask me for a coupon? Give me some money, you can afford it. Thirdly, I'm thinking, you know, just because you have all this money, it does not give you the right to be a snarky bitch with me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give you the right at all. So yeah, yesterday was a bad day, and I was hoping today at work would be a better day, but it wasn't. We have this new stupid program that is required to be implemented inside every single store, and we have to get certification for it. And if our store doesn't get certified for this new program that's being rolled out, the store could possibly get shut down. So we've been stressing for a month now, trying to get the store up to the standards, and the store was immaculate.
Are you in up to standard? I guess you are.
In our opinion, yeah. I mean, the store looks spotless. Okay. And
they found it not immaculate, I should say.
Our district manager found 5 pages worth of complaints.
What?
And we're sitting here and we're going, what the fuck is it going to take? You know, do you want us to scrub the carpet with a toothbrush? You know, as soon as a kid unfolds a T-shirt, do you want us to come immediately running up behind them and fold it, or walk up to the guests that come into the store and say, how dare you take that shirt off the shelf and unfold it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't get it. And I mean, we were in good spirits because we're sitting there and we're like, yeah, we're going to get certified. We've got this nailed. You know, we've done our work. We've done our homework. We're all set, ready to go. And we fail it. And we feel that we unjustly failed it. My manager, Bill, I caught him in the back room crying today. And I've never seen anything cause this man to break down and cry like this.
Wow.
And seeing his reaction and seeing Amber's reaction, she just basically was numb for the rest of the day. I was numb for the rest of the day because it feels like all of our hard work was done for shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the Disney Store Company has had high standards to begin with, unrealistic high standards at some points. Now it's gotten extremely unrealistic. And if this is the standards now that the Disney Store is imposing upon us, then, oh my God, I feel sorry for every single Disney store in this nation. Now, if it's actually our district manager's interpretation of what the standards are supposed to be, I don't want him for my boss. I honestly don't, because there will be no pleasing him.
You're talking about the Bill, earlier Bill. Yeah, that's your boss, right? The Bear
Bill
boss.
Is the Bear boss, yes.
Ah.
I've never seen him cry the
crying
whole time I've been there.
Bear boss.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it finally broke him. So,
I'm sorry to hear what's going on there right now.
That's my war stories with work, and I know that you have some war stories.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've been working on the weekends. That's why one of the reasons why I didn't have to. I couldn't go to New Orleans last weekend because I had to go to work on Sunday. And some of these software testers were there, and I have to be there to help out. And if there are bugs in the software, I have to do my work. And luckily, yeah, we're solving a lot of problems and until today. And hopefully our work will pay off. And yeah, I'm a little relaxed now.
That's good.
Yeah, so I could...
I've been talking to you the last couple of days, and you've sounded really tired.
Oh, yeah.
You sound like you've been beaten or something.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm coding and stuff, and it's really hard to solve a problem. There's this situation, or my computer always hangs sometimes. So it sucks when that happens. But then when you get to do your job, and when it's done, it's really rewarding. It feels good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, did anything good happen to you this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Well, last Friday night, I attended the first leather night there at the Ripcord in Montrose here in Houston. So,
were you in chaps?
No, I wasn't. Yeah. well, at least I know it is the first time they're at Ripcord. Yeah, they're starting it. On the first Fridays of the month. They're going to do this every first Friday of the month, that they're going to do leather night or uniform night. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be very strict, they said. But when I was there, when I had to go in, I wanted to go in, but they told me to take off my shirt. You can go in if you're in leather, that's fine. If you're in uniform, that's fine. But if you don't have anything, you just need to take off your shirt and you can go in. So
shirtless bears are considered.
Oh,
leather?
Yeah. I've never seen so much hair, chest hairs in a bar that night.
How many times did you come in your pants?
Quite a few visits at the restroom. Yeah, <I did>. Yeah. So, well, many didn't know about it. So there were more people going in without shirts on. So I was helping out at the door, you know, stopping people. Wait, you cannot go in because you have to take off your shirt. You don't have leather on.
You think they would have advertised it a little more?
Oh yeah, we did actually. We tried doing it on the websites and telling people, putting it on. I think we announced it in other groups, in other Yahoo groups. But people who are visiting from out of town, of course, they wouldn't know. Or yeah, people who just frequent the Ripcord once in a while. Yeah, so. But it's more fun getting their shirts off, actually, than seeing someone in full leather gear. So, uh-huh. Yeah, it was fun. How about you? Any fun part that you guys do?
Oh, it was a big weekend for us. Not only did we go to the Texas State Fair this past weekend, we went on the 7th, which was the day of the Texas OU game. And it was crowded at the fair. And let me tell you, Chris and I saw some major hot eye candy, but it was from the Oklahoma side. So we're like going, where's all the Texas hotties, you know? So, but oh my God, we saw some major eye candy. We had an absolute blast. Of course, I had my first ever authentic Texas State Fair corn dog.
Oh, and, goodness. You got a corn dog.
Oh, yes. And Chris had a deep-fried praline, actually, which I had a sample of, and it was damn good.
That's bad for you.
I know. I just had a little bite. Mm. And we went to the Women's Museum because they had an exhibit on Marilyn Monroe, and what was great about it was they had this display of all the dresses that she wore throughout her career, and it was the original dresses. I mean, you could see age spots on them and everything, which was great. And the unfortunate part was, one, we couldn't take pictures of them, which pissed us off because we really wanted to get photos of some of the dresses. And two, the very famous dress from the movie The 7-Year Itch, when she's standing over the subway tunnel and the wind blows up her skirt.
Oh, yeah, the classic one.
Mm-hmm. The classic one. They had a replica there. They didn't have the original one because Debbie Reynolds owns the original dress. Mm-hmm. So, but it was a great exhibit. We saw a butter sculpture of the scene from The 7-Year Itch when the wind blows up her skirt. And it was a great butter sculpture, except Marilyn Monroe's face for some reason looked like Oprah Winfrey. And I'm going, that's not Marilyn's features. I rode the Texas Star for the first time, which is the 212-foot-high Ferris wheel, which is a beautiful Ferris wheel. I'm a big fan of Ferris wheels, and at the same time gives you one hell of a view of not only the fairgrounds, but of downtown Dallas, and if you look far enough, you can see Fort Worth in the distance. It's just amazing, amazing view. And we rode on a few rides and whatnot and just had a blast. But the most important thing that happened that night was it was Chris and I's 6th month anniversary.
Aw, congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you guys make out at the Ferris wheel or something?
No, we couldn't because we had a grandmother and her two grandchildren in front of us. So... Yeah, we couldn't exactly do that in front of them.
Oh, I thought you guys were alone. That's no,
no
fun.
They packed, oh, no, they packed the cages in. The cages can fit six people, so they pack them in because the lines are long for the star. So.
Mm-hmm. Or you can do a quickie on the Ferris wheel. But no, not a good idea if there's a grand one in front of you, no.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. But, you know, I like Ferris wheel. I like riding a Ferris wheel after a wet ride. Let's say you have a log jam ride wherein you go through the water.
I am so leaving that alone, a wet ride on a log. Oh, no, Maynard, don't say that to me.
Yeah, I mean, I ride it whenever there's a theme park where you go there and it's a wet ride when you will definitely get wet. After riding that, then we go ride the Ferris wheel to dry ourselves off because it's, you know, it's windy and it's high up and stuff like that. So, yeah, I like Ferris wheels in that sense. And also the view. Yes, of course, the view is great because it's usually the highest thing in the whole park, so, or the whole fair. Yeah. Okay, I guess that's our update for...
That's our update.
For this week.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice. Nice butt.
Yeah, sure.
So what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer? Do you work out a lot? Do you come here often? Woof, what a bear.
Okay, I have a special guest here, and his name is Benny. Hello, Benny, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing? I'm doing fine.
Yeah, so where are you now?
I am in... just south of Seattle, Washington. I'm in a town called Federal Way, Washington. I'm working for a Six Flags park up here.
Oh, really? Okay, Six Flags. I didn't know you're
yeah,
doing at Six Flags. I miss Six Flags over here.
Yeah, it's not an actual Six Flags park. They're owned by Six Flags. The park itself is Wild Waves Enchanted Village. Mm-hmm. Which is just grand, but yeah, it's a property that's owned by Six Flags, and Six Flags actually books me in here.
I see.
And I'm doing their Halloween festival, their Fright Fest, for the whole month of October.
Oh wow! So you're originally from Seattle? Have you always stayed in Seattle, or is that you're based?
No,
I'm
not
there.
No, I'm not from here at all. I'm originally from Tennessee.
Ah, okay.
I live near Nashville and have pretty much grew up there. So, I'm still based out of Nashville.
Yeah, it's just like going back home when you went to Bear Palooza, huh? Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And back, you know, that was a local show. That was great.
Oh yeah. Okay, so tell me about your performances. Some of the audience don't pretty much know your what you do in your performances. So can you describe to the audience what exactly that you do?
Well, the easiest way to describe it is I do all that crazy torture stuff that you see on things like Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Mm-hmm.
I do an updated version of the classic American Sideshow. I do fire eating. I lay on a bed of nails. I get concrete blocks broken off of me with sledgehammers. I walk barefoot in broken glass. I hammer nails up my nose. I nail my tongue to a 2x4. I get hit in the back with darts. I put my hand in animal traps. I chop vegetables off my chest with a razor sharp cleaver.
Wow.
I could go on and on.
Wow. Wow,
so,
that is
yeah, my act is classically referred to as a working act or a torture king.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do all these heavy physical things with my body that you're not actually supposed to be able to do.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious though, you know, when did you realize that you have a high tolerance of pain?
Well, I was a mischievous little scamp when I was a kid, so I got a lot of beatings.
That's why. And little do you know, you're enjoying it. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, I tell my mom all the time that she's the one that's responsible for my career because of the liberal application of the belt to my butt, you know, when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
But And, you know, and that, I don't know, that may be part of it. I've always just had a very high pain threshold.
Yeah.
Just, you know, born lucky, I guess. A lot of the things that I do aren't so much painful as they're just kind of, they look a lot worse than they are, and a lot of them are just gross.
yeah.
You know, like driving a nail into your nose and all that stuff. That's not really painful, but it just looks nasty.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've seen the pictures from your website. Yeah. Was there a time though when you performed something that you realized that wherein you did it and you said, "Oops, that hurts." I mean, was there a time that you actually reached your threshold?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have little incidents like that. You know, I mean, when I'm walking barefoot in broken glass, you know, my feet get cut occasionally. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. I mean, I'm barefoot and I'm in broken glass. When I have people step up out of the audience and throw darts at my back, mm-hmm. if they hit me in the wrong spot, yeah, I'm aware of it. But you know, it's one of those things like, you know, secretaries get paper cuts, carpenters hit their thumb with a hammer occasionally, and you know, I get cuts, I get burns, I get mm-hmm. little injuries all the time. It's nothing that's, knock wood, I've never had anything really serious happen on stage. I've had a couple of slight mishaps when I was rehearsing new acts.
Oh, okay.
But the worst injury that I've had on stage, aside from the, you know, little burns on your lip from fire eating occasionally, or you know, the cuts and things like that, the uh-huh. staple holes.
Yeah, the staple holes.
People stapling
dollars on you. Yeah, I saw that.
Oh yeah. I had a particularly good weekend this weekend, and so my chest and stomach are full of little red spots right now.
Uh-huh.
I've been medicating with Neosporin and liberal applications of gin and tonics, you know, during my off
gin
time.
Gin and tonics, okay. Okay. I think that helps. That helps me too sometimes.
Oh yeah. You know, but the worst injury that I've actually gotten on stage was I was doing the bed of nails routine, and I had a guy out of the audience who was going to break the concrete block with a sledgehammer,
mm-hmm.
and I gave him the instructions, and he didn't follow the instructions exactly, and he hit the block at the wrong time, and a big chunk of it came up and hit me in the mouth and the chin,
mm-hmm.
and split my lip, and didn't do any real serious damage, but I had a fat bloody lip through the rest of the show.
So you got up and beat the shit out of him. No, I'm kidding.
No. I did threaten him a lot, you know,
and I'm going to let you lie down on these bed of nails. Yeah, yeah.
But, no, it was, you know, he felt horrible about it, and it was just one of those things that happens sometimes. You know, everybody who I know in the business has gotten some manner of injury, be it minor to very serious.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever?
I know,
go ahead.
Oh, well, I know several sword swallowers who have had emergency runs to the hospital. You know, that's about as serious as it gets. You know, I mean,
you don't do that though. Do you swallow sword?
I don't swallow swords. I swallow 24-inch long glow sticks.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Ooh,
honey.
I'll put them down my throat, you know, when they're unlit, and I'll take a bow, and then when I pull them back up out of my throat, they're glowing, and it's, you know, it's just cool. It's a big audience pleaser, and you know, and it's safe. You know, I don't have to
yeah.
really
it's
stuff
it's,
with
yeah.
the sword thing.
Like a so, dildo, you know, you just it's easier.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's easier to rub.
I'm trying to work up to one of those. I think that would be real impressive at a bear run too.
Uh-huh. Dildo sucking by Benny. Yeah, that's. I mean, you're a deep throater then, I guess. Wow. So let me see. How about outdoing yourself? Do you try to outdo yourself, or you've done that before, and you're just doing your regular stuff? You know what I mean? Outdoing yourself. Like, I'm carrying a pair of pliers right now. Next week, I'm going to do an anvil, you know, on my nipples. Something like that. I don't know.
Well, you know, you're always trying to update your act. And, you know, I like to add new feats to it occasionally. Mm-hmm. Right now, when I do everything in my repertoire, my show would run probably an hour and 20 minutes, maybe an hour and a half. So that's, you know, that's a pretty good stock of amazing feats to draw from. Most people want to book me for an hour or, you know, some increment of that. The shows that I'm doing here in Seattle, I do, 2 40-minute shows and a 30-minute show, on three nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, I can mix it up. I can make each show a little bit different that way.
Yeah.
You're always pushing yourself. I mean, I'm not somebody who's got a death wish or, you know, a desire to really injure myself. I like to say I'm stupid, but I'm not crazy. The things that I do now are amazing. You know, I mean, I still enjoy seeing other people do the same acts that I do. I mean, I still get slack-jawed watching anybody drive a nail up their nose and things like that. I mean, a good sword swallower is a joy to behold. I mean, I've seen some just beautiful fire-eating acts that'll bring you to tears. Just amazingly lovely choreographed things that are just phenomenal. So I'm always trying to make my act the best it can be. In fact, I was doing a new routine this weekend or this run, and I dropped it last weekend because it was good, but it wasn't great.
Oh, okay.
And if it's not great, I feel like I'm cheating my audience.
Mm.
And when I go on stage, I've got it in my head that no matter who else is on stage, no matter what else is going on at the show, when the audience leaves, I want them to be talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want to be the thing that they remember from their night out.
Yeah.
So I'm always pushing myself to make my show the best it can be. Mm-hmm. The acts are solid, you know, so I'm always working on new routines, and I do a lot of comedy in my act, so so if something doesn't get a laugh that I think it should, I'll drop it and rework it until it does get a laugh. And I'm a professional. I'm always trying to make my act absolutely the best it can be.
How long have you been doing this? A couple of years? Many years now?
I've been doing it on stage for almost 11 years now.
Ah, okay.
Before that, I was doing the feats that I know, kind of to entertain friends, as party tricks, to win bar bets, things like that. You know,
okay.
The way my act actually got started was I used to be involved with a kind of an underground artist collective, and we would do shows in like warehouses. We would hang original art, we would have performance art and things like that going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had gone to Mardi Gras many years ago while I was involved with it. I had made a trip to New Orleans for Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a hammer and a nail with me, and a friend of mine who, we were there for a music festival, a friend of mine, and he would go into the bars ahead of me, and he would say, he'd go up to the bartender and say, you know, I've got this crazy friend out here, and for, you know, for a pitcher of beer and, you know, two or three shots of Jägermeister, he'll drive a nail into his head. You know? And it was amazing how many people would take him up on it. So then I'd come in, I'd pound the nail into my head, you know, into my nose, and we'd get free drinks. So there was like, half a dozen of us, maybe six or eight of us all together there that weekend. And I got everybody plowed, and the nail bought every drink. So I was telling my friends in the artist group about it after we got back. And one of the guys says, well, you know, you should put together a show and do it at one of our events. I thought, it's not a bad idea.
So that's where you started.
Yeah, so I put together maybe a 20-minute show. I had a guy helping me who did a straitjacket escape. And we did like 20 minutes, and the crowd went nuts. They thought that I'd been doing it for years, and I have been. I was a musician, and I had been performing and on stage a lot, so I was comfortable on stage. And with the raves and the reviews that I got, I thought, you know, I'm onto something here.
Yeah.
So at that point, I really started seeking out people who could teach me how to do the acts. I got together with a man named Melvin Burkhart, who was the original human blockhead. He actually invented the act of driving a nail up your nose. He was in his 90s when I met him, and he kind of took me under his wing and taught me a lot about being a showman and being a professional and things like that. And we were close until he died about three years ago. He would have been 99 this year, so he lived a long and fruitful, happy life, and drove nails up his nose for a living for about 70 years.
Wow.
So
that gave him, you know, length of life, just driving the nails. I don't know if there's any scientific.
Melvin was on stage performing a week and a half before he died. Oh. He had flown to New York and did a performance up there and had a stroke on the plane flight back.
Oh.
So he went out, you know, feet first, you know, which is how all of us performers want to go. Wow. You know. Much leave the stage and, you know, take your last bow.
Yeah.
So, he taught me a lot, and then I've met other people that I've learned from, and after doing it for about 5 years, just kind of as a sideline, as a part-time thing, I got downsized at my job,
mm-hmm.
At the time that it happened, I was getting a lot of show inquiries, so I decided to try to do it as a full-time thing, and, you know, and so far it's worked out okay. I don't make as much money as I would with a real job, but I'm also not in a cubicle. I get to travel.
Ouch. Okay.
I did cubicle thing for 22 years. So I'm not talking bad about anybody that works in a cubicle. I'm just saying I'm glad I'm out of one.
Yeah, it gets your nerves sometimes. Yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, I did that for, like I said, for 22 years.
Yeah.
And
okay, I have...
go ahead.
I'm wondering, have you seen the movie Jackass 2 or Jackass? Or, you know, the first or second?
I've seen the first one. I haven't seen the second one yet.
So when you see what they do, it's like, that's nothing. Ugh, that's so easy, you know?
The Jackass guys are a different sort of performer. Steve-O, for instance, is trained. I mean, he's done, he's like trained in clowning and things like that. He's actually kind of knows what he's doing. A lot of those guys, you know, well, those guys know what they're doing. It's the ones that try to emulate them that are the issue.
Mm-hmm,
I saw the first Jackass movie and I thought it was absolutely hilarious. I mean, it was stupid. It was ignorant. And I laughed my ass off. And I'm sure the second one's the same way. However, I worked at a tattoo convention a couple of years ago, and they had booked in a Jackass type act who injured a member of the audience. And probably got the promoter sued. I'm not sure. I never did hear the outcome of it. Mm-hmm. But, those guys that go up and try to do that stuff without the training, without knowing what they're doing, just because, oh, it's cool, it's Jackass, you know, mm-hmm. they're the ones that make all of us professionals, you know, and especially people in my line of work, which is totally different from the Jackass stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes us look bad, and it costs us work, too. You know, I mean, the big fire in Rhode Island with Great White, you know, that put a lot of fire eaters out of business because people wouldn't book fire eaters anymore because of that.
Yeah.
So, it's the people who are not, you know, quote, trained professionals that make it hard on those of us that are.
That's right. Well, besides, you know, all these shows that you do, what else do you do for fun? I mean, I know this would be fun for you, I guess. Yes, but, you know, do you go out movies or do you ride a bike, for example?
Mm-hmm. I do movies and things like that. I do a lot of artsy, craftsy things. You know, when I was in the art group I was talking about earlier, I was doing painting and things like that. I was a musician for a lot of years. I'm a dulcimer player and put out a couple of CDs of dulcimer music. And I like to say that I played music for 30 years and nobody really gave a rat's ass, and I drive a nail up my nose and everybody wants to book me. So
there you go.
Because I'm different. But I do all sorts of things. I cook. I do things like that. I do leather work. I do painting. I play music. So yeah, I'm an artsy kind of guy.
Uh-huh. Okay, so how about bookings? How can people book performances with you?
Well, you can contact me through my website, which is sideshowbenny.com,
mm-hmm.
and it's and Benny is spelled with an I E and not a Y. It's BENNIE.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. SideshowBenny.com. I get all the email through that. So that's really the easiest way to contact me.
Okay.
Is through the website, and I'll get back to you as soon as I get your email.
That's great. I mean, you know, probably one bear run here in Texas, maybe, or probably San Francisco, or anywhere else might. Or probably Salt Lake City might book performances for them. That'd be great.
The Bear Jam was the first run that I ever worked. They were the first one that contacted me and expressed an interest in what I was doing. They had a carnival theme this year, and I fit in. Mm-hmm. And oh yeah, I'd love to work more of them. That was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, I really appreciate your time, and this. It's great to talk to you at last.
Oh, it was great talking to you.
Do you have Yeah, besides your website, do you have a Bear 411 or probably a LiveJournal account or something that people can see what's up with you, your latest?
Yeah, you can find me on MySpace. My name's Sideshow Benny there. I've got a LiveJournal account. It's Sideshow Benny there.
Okay, cool.
So,
all right. So,
yeah, you can keep up with my adventures on LiveJournal. I blog fairly regularly about what happens on the road.
I see. Yep, I'm quite sure many would be reading your blog now. Yes. Okay. So thank you very much, Benny. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay, guys, it's National Coming Out Day. Yes, it's a very special day for many, and myself included. Okay, I have an article here from the Human Rights Campaign Foundation website. So let me read part of the article here. Every single time we talk about our lives as GLBT Americans, we are another step closer to equality, said HRC President Joe Salmanese. Each word helps build bridges that changes hearts and minds, and eventually our laws. Very true. Yeah, well, let me tell you about my coming out story. Well, I started my crusade of coming out to my friends and family 2 years ago. First, I came out to my college friend, just one. Yeah, and later I came out to my high school friends in Chicago. And then last year when I went to Manila, I came out to my friends there. There were about 10 of them. They were there. So it's a big feat for me, and it was hard at first, yeah. And then last August, I came out to my mom. So, yeah, it was really hard coming out at first, but I pretty much had a lot of practice already. So, coming out to my mom was a little bit easier. So, yeah. You know, it's as if a big weight came off my back. You know, it was taken away. I feel a lot better. It's like I'm breathing freely now. It's great. So how about you? What's your coming out story? Alright, time for some bear events for you guys. It's BC Bears MC Hibernation Bar Night on October 21st. It's a Saturday, just one day, in Binghamton, New York. A brotherhood of like-minded gay and bisexual men into leather, Levi, and the bear community. We are a diverse group of men with diverse interests and experiences, united in our commitment to a spirit of masculine brotherhood in the gay community. Okay, so check out the website at geocities.com/BCBearsMC. Okay, let's go to Provincetown, Massachusetts, Spooky Bear Weekend on October 27th. Join the Northeast Ursa Men and hundreds of other bears, cubs, and hunters. Hunters. As we hold our annual Halloween weekend and in Provincetown, from a welcome meet and greet through dinner and cabaret, Bear Blast, the Shadow Dance Costume Ball and Contest, through the final farewell brunch, you will be surrounded by bears from all over the Northeast and beyond. Okay, so check out the website at ne-ursamen.org. Okay, what's next? Oh, yes, the Heart of Texas Bears. Yes, okay, so I have their newsletter here. They're going to have their third Unrun. Yes, Unrun 3 and Mr. Hot Bear Contest this November. The date is Saturday, November 11, 2006. The Chain Drive will be the place, and we have some guest performers this year. The renowned Austin Baptist women will be helping us during the raffle ticket sale portion of the contest. Of course, as always, the money raised will be for a local charity yet to be determined. Last year, they raised $1,200 in just 30 minutes. Wow, impressive. Okay, so yeah, check out the website at theheartoftexasbears.org for more information. Okay, how about my group, Houston Area Bears? Yes, we're going to have a picnic this coming Sunday. Okay, let me read the blurb here. Please come join the Houston Area Bears at Memorial Park at 12 p.m. on a Sunday, October 15th. We're having a picnic in Bears Picnic and Bears. Oh, okay. Picnic and Bears from 12 p.m. to 4-ish. Okay. It will be a potluck event where everyone brings something that they would like to share. Sodas and water will be provided by HAB. Festivities will include food, music, frisbee, badminton, card games, and a quaint conversation, amongst other things. Yeah, for more information, check out the website at HoustonAirBears.com. I have a new AdBox sponsor. It's Gano XL Healthy Coffee. You can check them out at myganoxl.biz/CafeJ. So check out the front page of BearPodcast.com, and you'll find the link on the right side. You know, the ad boxes on the right side. And you'll see the ad box sponsors. And you'll see a yellow box there which says Healthy Coffee. I tried out their prepackaged coffee myself, and it's pretty good. Yeah. So if you want to be an AdBox sponsor, just click on one of the empty spaces in the AdBox. You'll see information there. It's only $30 per box, and it will stay there for a whole year. It's, you know, it's pretty much advertising, I know. And I get to talk about your business site on the show. Yeah, so, you know, just helping out each other. All right, enough of that. So now, back to the show. All right, it's time for shout-outs.
Shout-outs!
Yes. Well, first and foremost, of course, our Bear Brothers in Minneapolis.
Yes, the B-Talk Boys.
The B-Talk Boys. They are now 1 year old.
Woohoo! Yes, this week they're releasing their 52nd episode, and they've been doing one episode per week, so that means they've been around for a full year now.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, guys.
Congratulations, guys. Okay, so who else? What do you have in mind?
Major shout out to a guy who is finally home from Iraq, Alex.
Yes, mm-hmm. Alex. Yes,
welcome home.
Yes,
yeah. Oh, thank God. He's finally on American soil. He's away from the war. He's back in America. Thank the fuck God that he's back.
Yeah, I emailed him once, and he's going to be relaxing. He deserves it. He should relax, get drunk, or do whatever. Yeah. And who else? Let me see. Oh, Babalu. Yes, he's busy with his DVD right now.
And he's also going to be in San Francisco really soon. So I hope he has fun in San Francisco. And it's like I told him, and I'll tell him again, make sure you check out that restaurant, The Red Jade, on Market and Church, mm-hmm. if you want some good Chinese food. It's really, really good. Mm-hmm. Oh, and stay away from the tenderloin at night.
Why? What's wrong with the tenderloin?
It makes Compton look like Disneyland, pretty much. I've always wanted, whenever I've walked in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, I always wanted to make up a t-shirt that said, I have no spare change or cigarettes, get the fuck off me. Just, you know, to get it out of the way, because it literally is, when you're going down the street, it's literally a firing line. Get a spare change, spare cigarette, spare change, spare cigarette, and you get tired of saying no. Yeah. So I just wanted to get a t-shirt done and get it over with.
Yeah. One in the back, too. Yeah. Okay, I was just talking to you a while ago and then surfing a little, yeah, I found out one of people who replied to your LiveJournal post. He is Design Bear. Hi, Design Bear.
Design Bear.
Gosh, he's so cute. Let me see. Hold on.
Duh.
Yeah, I should feature him once. Yeah, he lives in Campbell,
Surprise
California.
Surprised you haven't featured David yet.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll probably do that one of these days. Yeah, he's pretty cute. Hi. Hello, David.
Okay. David, you officially have the Nard drilling all over you. Congratulations. Yeah.
Okay. All right, how about you? Any more? Anyone more?
I have a very special shout-out, actually, to a friend of mine up in Portland, Oregon, who's going through a very rough time right now. It's my friend Kurt. I just want to let Kurt know that I am there for him no matter what. You have my phone number. Don't hesitate to use it. I'm here for you, man. Mm-hmm. And final shout-out to Billy in New York City, New York. He's also known as Billy Boy, and sometimes he's known as Judy Garland on the Entertainment Beat with Francis Gumm.
Yes. very talented.
Very talented guy. We've been talking with each other right to left, and I'm actually trying to get him to appear on the Fur Factor so I can interview him, but not as himself. I want to get him on the Fur Factor as Judy Garland. So we've been discussing about how interesting it would be to hear Judy Garland reacting to the bear community. So
that would be interesting. Okay.
It would definitely be interesting. So I wanted to give him a great shout out. He's a great guy. He's fun to talk to. The first conversation he and I had, I think, was a 3-hour-plus conversation. He's just absolutely fun to talk to. He's full of incredible stories. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's great that I finally got to speak to him. So big shout-out to Billy Boy out there.
Yeah.
What about you?
A few more. My friend in Harlingen, Texas, his name is Michael. Hello, Michael. He's listening to the show probably.
Michael?
Hello. Yeah, I'm going to see him and our friend Roel in South Padre Island. Next month, we're going to South Padre Island. So definitely I'm going to podcast from there, as usual, and take some videos of the hot bears. Yeah, also, Wind Bear, Tommy. Yeah, he...
Hey,
Tommy.
Moment of Minutia.
Yeah, momentofminutia.com. He posted in the website about sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. Remember that I had that portion of the show about the sleep apnea, and
yes.
He reacted that he was having he said that he was having problems with the mask thing because of the beard. If you're wearing a beard, sometimes it leaks, so it is hard for bearded guys to wear the mask. Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, I actually used to have sleep apnea myself, and I had the operation, and at that, I was one of the lucky ones. It turns out that the operation cured my sleep apnea. The only thing, though, is that it may have physically cured me, but psychologically it didn't, because I've lived for so long with choking whenever I lay on my back that I can't sleep on my back anymore, because in my mind, I still think I'm going to choke to death. So even though I don't have the adenoids and the tonsils inside my throat to close off my breathing passage, when I lay on my back, I feel uncomfortable. So I have to lay on my stomach whenever I'm sleeping from now on.
And now you're a deep throater.
No comment.
All right, so I guess that wraps up the show.
Woohoo!
Yeah. It's okay.
Closer and closer to episode 100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you guys have any comments, just email us, bearchaser@bearpodcast.com.
And you can email me at xcalibear@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And visit the website, www.bearpodcast.com, and leave voicemails at 206-222-BEAR. That's 206-222-2327. Yeah, leave your voice message and... played in the show.
Cool. And you can check out my solo project, The Fur Factor with Roy, over at thefurfactor.podshow.com, or you can listen to it live streaming on my MySpace page at myspace.com/fagfanroy.
Okay. All right, so that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. Many wolves and many hugs.
The faggot's out of here.
Wolf Water Bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf Water Bear.